Well, we turn for our reading today to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, though I may not go quite as far as I've put on the order of service, David, so don't worry if I stop before you've got. That same day, I should say, if you wanted to follow it in the pew Bibles, page 979, but it will be on the screen. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell among thorns. I've just read that, haven't I? Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Amen. So, we're beginning a series today in which, through to the end of August, we're going to be thinking about some of the parables of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. If we want to get to the heart of Jesus' teaching, then we need to listen carefully to the parables. And perhaps this one most of all, because it is a parable about parables. It's a parable about how we hear the word of God. The sower. One can imagine Jesus in his boat, the people on the shore, and then on the hillside behind, a sower walking up and down a field, casting the seed, and Jesus is saying, I want to tell you what that means in terms of the kingdom. Will you just give me time? Listen. And so we have this familiar statement, a farmer went out to sow his seed, except that's not what the Greek says. It's not a farmer went out to sow his seed. Actually, it is the farmer went out to sow his seed. So Jesus is wanting to make it clear. I'm telling you an example based on everything you know about daily agricultural life in your part of the world. You've seen the sower going out sowing his seed again and again. But I want to tell you a story about the sower. And clearly he is identifying himself, as we read this parable, with the sower. And so he tells us this little story, which you could almost see being fulfilled on the hillside, where the sower is walking up and down, scattering seed. A very haphazard thing to do. I mean, also something which happened until relatively recent time in this country. Certainly, I remember when I first started preaching, and I preached at a harvest festival, and somebody came up and said, I remember when one of the farmers in our area used to walk up and down the fields scattering seed. There was no money for expensive equipment, even horse-drawn equipment, for sowing the seed. The only bit of equipment the farmer owned was a plough, with which he ploughed up the field to prepare. But even when it came to harvesting, it was a scythe that was used. So it is almost within living memory that this is the way farming was done here. And then for centuries before that, it was the way seed was sown everywhere. And that meant that, whereas now if you walk through a field of wheat or barley, you know, you cannot help but see the lines of crop growing. It's all very neat. But of course, this was totally haphazard. You didn't have that neatness of lines and everything in the fields. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. They had no means of getting water out of the ground. There aren't many pictures of thorns throttling wheat. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, some questions should be forming by now in the minds of the hearers of this parable. In other words, you and me. We are the current hearers of this parable. Questions like, has the word bounced off of me? Like seed off the hard path that passes through the field? Has it just lain there for the birds to come along and eat in their good time? It's all right. I decided to be clever today and put my notes on here. This is probably going to be proved to be a bad idea. One day I'll work out how to use this thing. Then there's the shallow soil, the rocky places, and how does our seed cope there? Jesus says it's a bit like, we have the initial joy, but then things easily overcome that. And how do we face up to things when pressure comes along? When our openness to the Word begins to separate us from fellow students or colleagues who take us to task for our faith? Or we find ourselves left outside of the fun circle. And then, it's all right, all this holy stuff, but our children are growing up. Is it fair on the children, tying them down every Sunday morning to come to church, saying no to some luxuries so we can support church and mission work, having a week less in Spain so that we can go to spring harvest? Surely we must be a bit like everybody else and shoulder the cares, the riches and the pressures of the world. But the seed is scattered all the time. What Jesus asks us to imagine is that as the sower gives one big cast of the seed, imagine him putting his hand in his bag of seed and scattering it wide. And the whole point is that these are not things that happen in progression. They are not different stages. They are not different parts of the sowing process. One scatter of the seed can see some seed land on the path, some seed land on the rocky place, some seed land among the thorns, and some on the good soil. The point being that there are not separate occasions of sowing. This is one act of sowing with very different results. The sower is the same sower. The seed is the same seed. The difference is on where the seed falls and how receptive to the seed the ground is. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, Jesus goes on to say, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. There's the path, nothing growing. Because what hasn't been trampled on has been eaten by the birds. And then he says the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Which is more here than just understanding intellectually. It's about getting it. really getting it, and it taking root in life and affecting life and influencing life. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, we can apply this parable in various ways. Some would apply this parable to mission. If you want to know how it's going to go with mission, then you need to know that sometimes the seed is not going to make it very far. You can do all the work of the sower, and you'll feel that you've done nothing. On the other hand, sometimes you'll do the work with the sower, Jesus and the Holy Spirit assisting, and there'll be results. Something positive will happen as the seed hits good soil. So there's the mission element. Or you can apply this parable to the world. Say, oh well, you know, the world's mainly hard footpath, thin soil, or weedy soil. So you can't expect very much. One of the dangers of that is then saying that everything's not of, that's not of the world, in other words, that it is church, you're bound to expect 30, 60, 100-fold response. I wish. Which leads us on to this next one. And I think, as I've read this again this time, Jesus is much more speaking to his people than we perhaps realize. Because our attitude to the word makes a great difference to our discipleship, to how we do church, how we are church, how we live for God. The bottom line of this parable is simply this. Are we open to the word of God? Because there lies our fruitfulness. Are we open to receive it? Are we open to persevere in it? Are we open to share it generously? Are we open to Jesus? That's the bottom line. Are we open to Jesus? John Piper, in a book he's recently published, says, we have a blinding enemy outside and a blinding disease inside, and together these two forces make it impossible for human beings to read the Bible as God intended without supernatural help. He goes on, it seems to me that thousands of people approach the Bible with little sense of their own helplessness in reading the way God wants them to. This proverb applies as much to Bible reading as to anything else. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make straight your paths. At every turn of the page, rely on God. That is supernatural transaction. If more people approach the Bible with a deep sense of helplessness and hope-filled reliance on God's merciful assistance, there would be far more seeing and savoring and transformation than there is. In other words, how are we as we approach the scriptures? How are we as we approach the word of God? And I'm not just talking about when we actually sit down and open the book and read it, but when we're in our small groups and we're discussing it, when we're here on a Sunday morning listening to it. My heart is sometimes hard. God has a job communicating with me because my heart is sometimes hard. And I need to remember that there is a reality in this universe that we don't like to talk about very much. We talk about the enemy, but he has a name, Satan. And his main identity is a liar and the father of lies. And his way of lying is more by deception than bold-faced falsehoods. He's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, we read in Revelation. And Jesus described how Satan takes away the word. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. He snatches away what has been sown in the heart. And how does that happen? Well, it might be by sheer forgetfulness. Or Satan may draw us from Bible reading to an entertaining video or cable channel. Oh. Don't know whether I dare say that. Or a sports game. With the result that any thought of Christ's worth and beauty is quickly lost in a den of ash and dragons and sex and fictional white houses and Salford pubs and Walford pubs and that great goal. And Paul speaks of the veiled gospel. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But he's also wanting to blind our minds too. Our growth depends on our continual openness to the word of God. And he is constantly wanting to fill us with pride. How often have you had the experience, and I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but you might use Bible study notes or something to help you day by day, and you look at the passage at the top of the page and think, oh, I've read that. I can't remember how many times I've read that. I'll skip the Bible reading. Let's just see what Selwyn has to say today, or Jeff Lucas, or whoever it is who's writing our notes. When actually it is the scripture itself that will truly repay the investment. If we will open our hearts and we listen again to what it has to say to us. The commentator may help us to see new things there. But we so easily take the shortcuts. Paul is more than aware that the enemy doesn't want us to read what's here, to hear what's said from here. It's so tentative, this coming together of seed and hard soil, that there's no engagement between the two. Perhaps the most resistant we can be is when we feel we know it all. I've read that, there's no more I can get out of that. Is my heart sometimes shallow? Do I hold God's word out there because, oh, that's getting a little bit deep. That's touching on things that are a little bit too personal. The specific focus of Satan's blinding work is the gospel. His focus is on our reading or hearing the heart of the message of the Christian scriptures. He's blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel in the glory of Christ. And he wants to go on doing that in us. You see, Satan would be happy for us if we just... It's not working, is it? We want to come to the word to be satisfied. We want it to speak deeply into our lives. But that's only going to happen when we engage with the Holy Spirit to allow that to happen. And we need to overcome the enemy who wants to have us do anything but read his word. Sometimes even reading the Bible can be the enemy of reading the word. You can get top marks in 100 Bible quizzes, but still be outside of salvation. Because you know the facts, but you don't know the Lord. You can come to this and get the encyclopedias out and get the books of archaeology out and do all that stuff. But that the heart, the word, the seed that we need to receive in our heart is that which comes directly from Jesus. John, at the beginning of his gospel, makes it very clear that the Word of God is incarnate in Christ. He is the Word of God. It's him we're seeking. Whether we're reading the Old Testament or the New Testament, any part of it, it is Jesus who is wanting to communicate with us through that Word. Yet sometimes we're intent on being too shallow to get it. And then, of course, we get distracted. We get distracted by all the things that call for our attention. And often we talk about, you know, the gods of the world, the material things that begin to chisel away in our lives at the place we should be giving to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is he getting all that he should have? Do we love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength? Or just the bits that are left over after we have given our heart and mind and soul and strength to the things that we think are priorities? And if we do, then Jesus is saying we need to turn our sense of priorities upside down, so to speak, so they're the right way up. The right way up is when he is the priority. Or are we good ground? Well, we want to be good ground. We want to be rich soil. We want to be receptive. We want to be open to the word of God. We want it to take root within us. But have you ever watched what happens on a farm? Have you ever seen the amount of work farmers put into preparing the soil before they sow the seed? They plough the soil. And then frequently they leave it a bit to the elements, the frost, the rain, the wind, to just begin to break up what's been ploughed. And then they go over it again and they reduce the clods into much finer soil and they add their fertilizers. So those of you who garden know that a good crop in the garden, if it's vegetables or a good show of flowers, does not just happen. There's a lot of work goes on to make a garden beautiful or to make it fruitful. Are we cooperating with God so that the soil of our lives is the sort of soil that will receive the seed and become the best place in which it can grow and come to fruitfulness and bring a crop? The sower went out to sow. What's the field of your life looking like just now? And we begin to get the field right, we begin to get the ground right, when we come to him and say, Lord, make me receptive. Minister to me by your Holy Spirit. Break up within me the obstacles to your word. Make this soil rich. Make it fruitful. Because the incredible thing is that he never stops sowing his seed. This farmer of which Jesus tells us is one who is constantly out scattering. And as long as there is rich, prepared soil, some of that seed will take root and will grow. Are we ready for that? Are we receptive? Will we hear the other parables of Jesus and say, ah, that's a word for my life? Well, let's begin with this parable, the parable about parables. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world that needs your love. We live in a world that needs the hope of your freedom. We live in a world that is crying out for healing from its pain. And we worship a Lord who came into the world to meet each of those needs. And we want to be part of your work in the world. We want to be part of your mission to establish your kingdom. But we recognize that you need to do work in our hearts, in our lives. So, Lord, we pray, where we are hard, soften us. Where we're shallow, deepen us. Where we carry attitudes that throttle your word before it can take root properly. Transform us and make us the good soil. Show us where the stones are that they can be uprooted. Show us where the weeds are that they can be pulled. Show us where the hardness is that it can be tilled. And Lord, as we come to the bread and wine in a few moments, speak to us of your presence with us now and every day as you build your kingdom. In the name of Christ we ask it. Amen.